Okay, we're going to start on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. All right. What happened? Did he disappear? Yeah, he disappeared. I don't know. He was here just a second ago.
He's coming back.
He's coming back, right?
It could be his Wi-Fi is not good because he's in camp.
Listen. Rav David, he's out again. I would send, if you want to send him a text message, tell him I recommend he not use his video because the video uses up a lot of bandwidth. He'll have better luck if he doesn't use his video. Okay, we can't wait for him anyway. Sorry. Tamam Taninon. Okay, so let's see here.
We have.
Yeah, so it said that you can't be mezaka. You can't be mezaka. You can't have the transaction of giving the money or giving the tefuah to your shivcha knanis because yadon ki yadol, it's exactly like putting from one hand into the other, and that's not going to work. That would be just like him doing it himself, in which case you'd have to add a fifth. And the goal is, of course, to avoid that fifth. Tamontin on Shalos HaParo, over there. Where's over there?
Bar Metzia.
In 98b, right? So there it says Shalos HaParo. Someone goes ahead and borrows a cow from somebody else. V'shulchav lo biyad b'no biyad avdo biyad shlucho. That the lender sends it to him with any of these people. And the cow died in transit. The borrower is not liable. If, however, the borrower said to the lender, send the cow to me with your son, with your slave, with your agent, and the lender then sent it, then he is liable. Doesn't this indicate that he can acquire an object from his master for the sake of another person, which is against our Mishnah, which says that a Canaanite slave cannot acquire possession from his master? The assumption here is that Mishnah is talking about an Eved Kanani, which, of course, there was no reason to make that assumption, but that was the assumption the Gemara made. So the Gemara right away knocks it off.
Wait, so I don't understand. So what's the stira? How is it a stira to our Mishnah?
Our Mishnah says that you can't be mezaka.
Right,
because Yadu Ki Yadu, so he can't be he can't be considered like external. And over there, one second.
Okay. Is Dov the only one there?
Dov's the only one in the room, yeah.
Then tell him to get close to the east so we can
hear. Get what?
He should get closer to you so we can hear what he says.
Oh, I thought you could hear him. He's pretty loud. No?
I'll stay quiet.
Okay, he's not going to ask anything anymore. That's it. He wants to understand this stira. What is this stira the Gemara is asking? Right? The Gemara, it seems to say, right, the reason a Canaanite slave cannot participate in this whole harama is because he does not possess independent monetary jurisdiction. I love the way they say this. Beautiful English. Independent monetary jurisdiction. Hotnish kinyad. That's the way we say it in Yiddish. Right?
Right.
And therefore, he cannot acquire money from his master. But if it says over there that a person is borrowing a para and he sends it biyad avdo, okay, let's just concentrate on that case. I'm sending it. I the mashal, right? I'm the mashal. And I'm sending you my para with my evet. Let's assume he's an evet kanani for a second, right? And the borrower sent to the lender, send the cow to me with your slave. It says that the borrower is liable if he says that lashon,
which becomes shliach,
because he somehow he's able to kind of like be zocha for him as an, it's like an independent entity. What we're basically saying is it's left the reshus of the mashal and it's entered into the reshus of the shoel ayidei the mashal's Eved Kanani. So how is that supposed to work?
Right?
If it's not Yadav Kiyom? That's the stira. Unless Adam or Shrive is like Rabbi Lacher. My answer is on Rabbi Lazar, Tifto Rabbi Kanani. Tevet Iri. Who says we're talking about Kanani? The whole thing is Iri. The whole Kash was no Kash. Rabbi Yechon says, I feel Tifto Rabbi Eved Kanani. Rabbi Yechon has a very creative answer. Even if it's Kanani, I could still answer the stira. Why not? What's the stira? What's the answer? Tifto Rabbi Mulab Sachlov, he bought me Lehel. Which means if I tell you I'm the Shoel, and I were to tell you, let's just assume it's just you and me, nobody in between, no third party here, just you and me. I tell you, open the door to your barn and let that animal come to me. As soon as that happens, I'm chayef. As soon as he is yotze out the door. Because the animal, of course, that's talking about a case where it's kairi law, v'hiba, to be honest with the details. That's where I call the animal. Here, you know, Bessie. Here, Bessie. And Bessie hears my voice and comes to me. But the Gemara is just using this as an example. So you see it's possible to become chayev even without a person actually being zocha in it. Right?
Right.
Anyway. Okay, now we're on Lamitas. The Gemara provides support for the assertion that lending of the cow can be finalized without the borrower performing a physical act of acquisition. The Tony Kane, in Higo Himshicha Karlo Vos Acharov, Nischayev L'Lasham Kishoa. Just calling out to it is enough, right? If you do Mashicha, of course. Right, so the Gemara, the footnote one is obvious, raising the obvious question in the second paragraph. The brackets, it says the comparison of the Gemara is a bit difficult. In the case of the Brisa where the animal is called, the actual act of Mashicha was performed by the borrower, albeit through verbal means. In the case described by Yechanan, where the borrower said to the owner, open the gate and she shall come on her own, it was seemingly done by the owner of the animal, not by the borrower. How do you prove that if I simply tell you to open the gate, that it's chayev from the din of this brisa? Look how it's not a good raya. The Gemara apparently maintains, since the owner sent the animal upon the borrower's request, this can also be related to as an act of mashicha. It's comparable to the mashicha performed by the borrower calling the animal. So this is, the exact comparison is not so clear. Okay, next. Reb Zeira Shomu Min Hacha. Let's see here. We can have a proof to the contrary that a Canaanite slave can acquire things for some other person. Here we go. This is talking about Shitufei Mavuos. How do you make a Shituf? So you place a barrel, you declare, let us belong to all the inhabitants of the alley. He confers ownership of the portion of the wine upon them through his adult son or daughter or through his Hebrew manservant or maidservant. You can't use ketanim. You can't use a shivchum. Doesn't it make it very clear you cannot be zocha? So that's a good proof. So the Mishnah, conceding the validity of this proof, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, it could be it's like a minority opinion. And now the Gemara is going to record a dispute regarding the manner in which an Eved Kanani can free himself. Rav Meir says, this is my colleague, Rav Meir and the Chacham, if I want to free an Eved Kanani, so can I give the Eved Kanani the money and say, here's the money, and that's almanas, that your master does not have rishus in this money, that's the sheet of the Chachamim, or Rav Meir holds, that doesn't work, you can't even give it to him almanas. You have to give the money directly to the owner, if you want him to go free. If I were to give the money to the Kanani, it would just simply poof. It would go like a matona. Okay? So Rav Meir maintains the others must give the money to the master. And the sages
Hello?
Yeah.
What are you trying to do here? You're trying to free Eved Kanani?
Yes. I'm buying him out.
There's an
Isser. Tavaydu. Yeah, I need him for a minion. Okay? I need him for a minion. There are ways around it.
Yeah. But he's only like an Isha when you free him.
What?
He's
like an Isha while he's being held. He's after he's free,
when he goes free?
He's full Jew. Yeah.
With that?
There's a mindset. You have to have the conversion. You have to have a final conversion. A final conversion at the time of the pinyan. Yes, that is correct. That's a side point. There are other cases I could give you. For instance, if it was owned by Shutfim and one of the Shutfim was Meshacharim, it's Chatziyev Chatzi Ben Chorin, Lisa Shivchainu Yachol, Lisa Ben Chorin in Yachol, and we forced the other Shutfim to be Meshacharim. That's another example. There's a Kashas of a Maisa. Okay. So the Gemara basically, we're introduced to this Machloikas Reb Meir and the Chachamim. So Tiftar Kerab Meir, since you have a minority opinion of Reb Meir, Reb Meir holds Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. He holds it's just like the Yad of his master, and therefore the Canaanite slave cannot acquire an object from his master for another person, and that's why it can't be used for the Shitufim Mivuos. But perhaps according to the Chachamim, who hold that it is possible for an Eved Kanani to have his own Yad, if I give it to him on Manas, that his Rav does not have Rishos in it. That's all we're doing, is we're suggesting. We're not saying this is conclusive. We're just suggesting maybe. You want to say that our Mishnah, you see Beferish in the Mishnah, by Shituf and Mavuos, that the Eved Kanani doesn't work. I could tell you maybe that's because that's going like a Meir Shita. But according to the Chacham, that it's shaykh for him to have a yad, maybe it would be different. So the Gemara says, V'hotoni ishto. It was said, there's a case of his wife. What does it say? That if you want to confer ownership on the shita food, then I could use my wife, right? I could give my wife the wine and tell her, you'll be mazaka, the wine for the rest of the people in the mavi. Now, if it's a mayor, if we're going like the Shita of Rameir Savayad Ishuk Yad Bala, we know Rameir doesn't hold that would work, so it must be, it does not follow the Shita of Rameir. So you're trying, does that sign Rameir in that Mishnah? That doesn't work. Rameir has to come out like Chachomim, and if it comes like the Chachomim, then we do have a good Raya, that Yad Shifka is Kiyad Bala, and it cannot be exactly for someone else. Okay, now the Gemara says, well, wait a second. You could defend it. It defends the proposal. What is it going to do? 1 second, let me shut that off. Sorry, 1 second. Don't have noise here. Okay, sorry. It could interpret the Mishnah like this. Tana, the Tony, there's a Mishnah. There's a Bryson like this. Ishto ain't a part of the Maisa Sheni. A wife cannot receive from her money from her husband to be part of the Maisa Sheni to get out of paying the fifth. Right? She's not considered like an Acher. That's the Tanakama. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Meir, Ishto ain't part of the Maisa Sheni. No. He holds that she could be part of. So maybe it could come out what? That Rav Meir can make the Yad Eved like the Yad of the Rav, Minigeya the Shifka, Minigeya that like for Mavoi, that purposes that he won't be able to be Zaycha. It says you could use Ishto. The answer is because it's going like this particular Tana, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who happens to quote Rav Meir, same Rav Meir, right? Before we said Rav Meir holds Ishto is Yad Irshak Yad Baila. This one obviously doesn't hold that way. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he holds that an Isha does have an independent hand. So it's possible still to say that Mishnah Ervin is like Rav Meir. Okay? So there is proof only that according to Rav Meir, a Canaanite slave cannot acquire an object for his master, but according to the Chachamim, maybe it's possible. Okay, let's go on. Now, if you don't have money on hand, then the Mishnah suggested that you go ahead and you give, instead of money, you give the payros to the third party, right? And then you part of the payros on the money you have at home, right? That's what the Mishnah said. The Gemara says like this. historically speaking. Now, the way they introduce this in the Mefarshim is they say that it's mashma that lechachila, you could use the money. But b'di'evet, if you don't have the money, then b'di'evet, you use the peiros, because that wasn't the ideal way to do it. So the Gemara is now going to present us how that changed over time. Originally, you were supposed to only use kesef, and only in b'di'evet would you use the peiros, but there was a time where it started to change. Here's what it says. Rishon, originally what they did was, how you oisim came a mice, they would do the trick with the money. And guess what? I would give Reb David my money. And what would he do? He'd run away. He'd take my money and he'd run to the bank and deposit it in his bank account. And I'd be out my money. This is based on a trust that I trust. I'm going to give you the money and you're going to be part of the money from my Mishani, and then you'll give me back the money. If you don't give me back the money, then it's not such a good deal here. So Barishina, they would do it with money, and they would run away. So Hiskinu, they were masakein, meaning that you don't have to do it that way. Shu Aysin Baperis, they said that even though this wasn't lechachila, but now we're going to make it lechachila because of the problem of losing the money. And even that wasn't good. They would chop the food. I give them the food. So then you go ahead and you say, oh, it's my food. I'll go ahead and eat chalshudis with the food. That's not good.
Why are we trying to help out these Ramayim?
This is not Ramos. This is Harama. So two different words.
What's the difference?
That's a big difference.
A legal loophole?
It's not a Ramai. Ramai is as a negative intonation.
Sorry.
This is Mutter Lechachila Min HaTaira. And there are loopholes which are Mutter. Yeah. It says Haroitza Lechachmaro Atzmai. He went ahead and it's not considered. Why we're trying to help him? I don't know. We're trying to help everybody. Tonight we hear a whole speech about the Chofetz Chaim. You missed it maybe, but between Mincha and Ma'ariv, Shlomo Bergman spoke about the Chofetz Chaim, and what motivated the Chofetz Chaim. It was very interesting. Chofetz Chaim started off as a very young boy, and he was orphaned from his mother, and then he was orphaned from his father, and a very difficult upbringing. There wasn't food to eat. He didn't have a place to sleep. Is malnutrition. Anyway, so what the Chofetz Chaim, this is his theory, I guess, the Chofetz Chaim saw a need for people to help other people. And all his Sfarim were based on that underlying premise, that motivation to help other Yidden. So Mishnah Berurah was to help other Yidden learn through the Shulchan Aruch, which is such a complex limud. The Torah's Kalanim, that he wrote a Sefer on, that's to help people get into Olam Haba, where it says, there's a medrash that says that they're going to test you, and they're going to ask. So it was to help. So all I'm saying, the only reason I bring it down is because your question. We're trying to help people. Okay, trying to help people.
Yeah,
trying to help them. Listen, 1/5. I got news for you. If you're a farmer and you have a lot, and you have 10% of, let's say you have a 100,000 acre farm, 100,000 acres, right? That's a lot. Let's make it 10,000. 10,000 acres, 1/10 of 10,000 acres is 1,000 acres. Do you know how much Maaser Sheni that is? That is a lot of Maaser Sheni.
25% on top of that.
And 25% of that, that's a lot of money. I would be up there doing harama as well. And I think you would too, Tzvi. I hate to say it. So it says, his kinu shame is zakalai echad me'asar l'karka. So what they did was like this. This is a kinyan. You're all familiar with the kinyan agav of the Gemara Kedushin. Agav, remember that? So agav is, I go ahead and I'm makna to you metoplin agav l'karka. So even though you didn't make a kinyan in the metoplin, but the agav, the kinyan of the karka, you get the metoplin. So what did I accomplish by doing that? Who's got the metoplin? I've got the metoplin. I'm the owner. I was machna to you, the third party, who I don't trust anymore because you're always running away with my food. I'm machna you to the food. So now you own the food. I didn't do mashicha. The way I got around that was I gave it to Aidei Agav. So Aidei Agav, you got the Maaser Sheni. So now you're not going to come to my house and then say, give me my food. That far, you're not such a chutzpah yak. So that this fixed the Ramai problem. Okay, that's the answer. Reb Inya Bar Sisi Slak gabe Reb Yonah. Okay, so this is not 100% clear what happened in this story, but let's try to learn it. Reb Yonah went to Reb Yonah. Now, somebody has Maisa Sheni here, and someone has money. Let's say Reb Yonah is the one that has the money and has the Maisa Sheni, and he wants to use Reb Yonah as the third party to be Poita. Let's assume that that's the way it is. Amalei, so he gave Reb Yonah a sella, and he says to him, Efrak loch bahadasola, redeem my Maisa Sheni with this sella, so I don't have to pay the fifth. Amar, so Reb Yonah redeemed the Maisa Sheni, and he said to him back, Ibo amenas nisa, do you want to take the money back? Do you want to take it back? Take it back. Chazav anasta minei, so Reb Yonah took it back. Well, he's offering it, I'm going to take it back. Now, Amar Reb Yonah.
Did
he
do the
Batiyah?
What?
Yeah, it says that he gave it back? No. The English says, Amar Reb Yonah redeemed the Maaser Sheni and then said. Right? So it was after he did the Batiyah. That's what it says in the English. 39:83, second, third, last line. Anyway, so then Reb Yonah said the following. Now we're on 39b. Reb Yonah said, Kad sha'oris date, I assessed Reb Yonah's intentions. I figured out, based on the way I know him well, and I could tell from his whole, let's say his body language or whatever it was, he could tell that if I had taken the money, he would not have said a word. It's like, I'll give you a mashal, it's like if I sold my chametz to the guy in Erev Pesach, and the guy would come to me on Pesach or even after Pesach and say, I'm keeping the chametz. I wouldn't say anything. Take it. I would say, I can tell you now, I would say, take it. No problem. You want chametz? You bought it. I sold it to you. It's yours. If I wouldn't have that attitude, then what did I come? What?
Make sure you pay me the rest of the month.
Well, now you're coming up with eitzes. I'm talking about without any chokmas. Without any chokmas, the point is, if I'm not maskim to it, then, you know, there's a famous Gemara in the Dharma that they bring in the bottom. Well, I'm not going to quote the whole Gemara in the Dharma over there, but one thing we have to speak out over here. Why, in this whole discussion of these Ramoyim who were taking the stuff and running away with it, why don't you have a simple Eitza? I'll give it to him, not on a permanent basis. Like we do on Sukkot. If I want to, there's a din lachem. If you don't have a lulav and esrog, I can give you my lulav and esrog on the first day and say, here it is, it's yours. If you give it back to me, it'll be yours for the time being. And if you don't return it to me, then it's gzeila. So you won't be yotze. So you, of course, you gave it back to me in order to be yotze.
Maybe then there's a tie to the violin and it will be still chayav the chomesh.
So that's what they say. They say, you see from this Gemara that when it comes to this din of using a third party, Matamana Slahaksa is not an Eitza. Whether you're going to say the Lumdus the way you just said it or some other reason, I'll call upon him on just bringing it to the table. You should know that this is an issue that is dealt with. Okay. Next halacha. Moshe Kumar Maisa Vesela, and you have to hulk up over here. Listen very closely to what's going on here, because we're now going to be dealing with, I'm just going to give you this hakdama. There's two aspects to this transaction. Meaning, when I go ahead and I, let's see how I'm going to say this. This noise is driving me nuts. I can't think straight. Okay, I'm going to try to think straight. Let me learn it, and it'll come out clearer instead of me giving a hakdama that I haven't prepared. So the person who is buying my payers, right? Let's just get clear. What's the transaction here? The transaction is I have payers which have kedushas ma'aser sheni. You have the money. We're trying to switch the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni onto the money. Now, There's one thing I should really, one thing we have to speak out even before we go into this Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Aleph Amud Aleph. You remember that Mishnah? If you go back to Aleph Amud Aleph, almost the very first words of the Masechta, it says, it is the first words of the Masechta. The first words of Masechta Ma'aser Sheni says, Ma'aser Sheni Ein Mochrin Oso. First words of our Masechta. You cannot sell Ma'aser Sheni. What's the shot? You can't sell Ma'aser Sheni. So the Gemara, I went through it today. I want to pass it over the Gemara because it happens to be when you started Ma'aser Sheni, I wasn't here. So I didn't learn it that well. I learned it on my own, so I didn't remember it so well. So I hazarded it over today. So this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara first starts, the Gemara first thinks, oh, we're going like Reb Meir, who holds Ma'aser Sheni, is Mamon Gavaya. So of course I can't sell it. I can't sell something I don't own. But if you hold like a Yehuda, the Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Hegit, maybe you could sell it. But the Gemara is Dochan that. And the Maskanas HaGemara is that both, according to Reb Meir, both according to Yehuda and Marcanos, why can't you sell it? We paskin, by the way, that's Mam Gavaya. That's the way Raman paskins. He says it 100 times. Ma'aser Sheni, Mam Gavaya. But, and we paskin in Kedushin also. Ain't Kudashas, we paskin in like the mission over there on Nunheg. So, but the Gemara speaks out that even according to Yehuda, you can't be Marcanos. Why not? Either the two reasons given. Zilzul, that it's a zilzul to Ma'aser Sheni to be selling it, and two, in order for him to go to Yerushalayim. Because if I can sell my Ma'aser Sheni to you, I'll never go to Yerushalayim. What do I have to bother with this for? I'll sell my Ma'aser Sheni to someone else who's anyway going. He's got his private little apartment over there in Ritzy, old city of Jerusalem. Let the rich people go. They can take my Ma'aser Sheni. I'll take the money and I'll go to Florida. You know, I won't go to Yerushalayim. We don't want that. It says in the footnotes that when you went to Yerushalayim and you saw the Avodah, you had Yerushalayim. Anyway, those are the two reasons that according to you, ain't recognized. Now, when is that true? That mechira, think about it. That mechira, what was the mechira? That mechira was, I was selling you my Ma'aser Sheni, not to take the Kedusha off the Ma'aser Sheni. I was selling you the Ma'aser Sheni for you to go ahead and take that Ma'aser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Which means, actually, Rosh Tiro speaks this out, that I would actually sell it at a cheaper price. Because obviously, the price of you having to transport that to Yerushalayim is going to go into your purchase price. You could even pay 50 cents on the dollar. So that's all a zilzul all by itself. But I just want to make this very clear. So when it says ein mochrin oso, that mechira is not to get the kedusha off of the ma'aser sheni. It's to get the ma'aser sheni out of my rishus and give it to you. You'll give me money. That money will be chulin, and you're keeping the ma'aser sheni b'kedushasa. That's what that mishnah says is also. When we talk about our Gemaras that we've been talking about, where I am selling, I'm having a transaction, right, with a third party. I'm trying to get around the fifth. So I'm giving you the money. Let's take that case. I'm giving Dov the money. I say, Dov, take that money and be pulled to my Ma'aser Sheni with that money. This way I get out of the fifth and the Kedusha goes on the money and you give me back the money and I'll take the money to Yerushalayim. That's mutter. That's 100% mutter. That's a different kind of a, because that's a transfer. Okay, so but that's
why can't you do that alone?
What's
why
that?
Can't you do that alone? You can do that alone.
Yeah, if I pay the fifth, that'll cost me the fifth.
Well, you don't want to.
I don't want to pay the fifth. I plead the fifth. Okay, so let's deal with this Mishnah now. Now that we have that Hagdama, very important Hagdama. Because I didn't chap the difference between and this is all spoken out in the Mefarshim here. All the Mefarshim speak this out. So Mashakimenu Ma'aser Basela. So now what's going to happen is like this. Let's suppose I'm transferring you the Paris, and I say, I'm gonna pay you one sella for the, you have Paris Meiser Sheni, I'm gonna give you a sella, that's the deal. We're about to enter into a deal, and you go ahead. I'm sorry, not you. Go ahead. Let's use my example. Let's make it very clear. Dov has Meiser Sheni. I have the sella, and I say, Dov, I'm gonna give you a sella for that Meiser Sheni. Dov says, good. Here, make a mashicha on my Meiser Sheni. I make the mashicha on the Meiser Sheni. Now, what do I owe Dov? I haven't given him the money yet. How much do I owe him?
Sella.
One sella. Guess what happens? Before I give him the sella, the price of the Meiser Sheni goes up in the market to 2 shekels. So now, as far as what I owe him from our transaction, how much do I owe him?
Sella.
Still only owe him one sella. Only one sella, because the Mashiach lacks in the price that I owe him. But you have to look at one other aspect. Besides the mominess of the transaction, besides the Chayshen Mishpat, there's a Yoredeya part of it, which is I've got to be machalel, the Kedushas Meiser Sheni, onto money. Now, I've got that, and that's going to take...
The sella's
not going to be enough. I've got 2 shekels worth of Meiser Sheni now, Kedushas Meiser Sheni, in my Rishus. What am I going to do? I only have one sella that I'm going to give him. It's not going to work. Right? So that's the Mishnah, what it says. I give Dov the sella. I gain the sella, meaning I can take a sella out of my pocket and I can redeem the Meiser Sheni on my own, in this case, and not have to pay the fifth, by the way, on my own, and I profit because I can keep that sella. I am, of course, going to have to take that sella down to Yerushalayim, but I can eat the 2 shekels worth of Meiser Sheni now because those are no longer have Kedushas Meiser Sheni. You follow that case?
Why don't you have to pay the fifth?
Okay, why don't I have to pay the fifth? So they speak this out. Let's see. I don't see it right now. I don't know offhand. I don't know. That's what they speak this out. I saw it. They speak it out. I think because it's still connected to the sale that I made to Dov, and therefore it's not considered like I did it myself. Something like that. Yeah, no one's. I don't see when anybody speaks it up. Anyway, well, let's keep going. So that's the first case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah is the opposite. Okay, 39b2. Let's go to the next case. Marshal pimenu ma'aser b'shtayim. Now let's say when I took the Dov has 2 shekels worth of ma'aser sheni. I did the mashicha at that moment. I owe him 2. Now it goes down in price, right? Lo hispik lefdoso ad sha'amad besela. Now, what do I have? I have in my Rishus, I have 1 sella's worth of Meiser Sheni in my Rishus. But because when I made the Mashicha, the deal was I owe you 2. It doesn't matter that it went down. I owe him 2. So what do I give him? So I can give him 1 sella of Meiser Sheni, right? Nice in Lysella Mechulov, the Sella Shal Meiser Sheni Shalom. What I can do is I can take a Sella of Hulin, give him that, And that's sell of chulin, that's going to take the kedusha off the ma'aser sheni completely, because it was only worth one sella at that point. I owe him another sella. I can go in if I have another sella that already had kedushas ma'aser sheni on it, and I can use that to give that to you for the remaining sella. Sounds like I'm paying off a debt with the sella, but let's just leave that alone. But the point here is like this. The point is that the chayshin mishpat of the two sloim is separate from the pigeon of the ma'aser sheni. Mitzad the pigeon of the ma'aser sheni, since the ma'aser sheni went down to be worth only a sella, I only have to be poter one sella. So then I have a sella of chulin for, the Mishnah calls it. A sella of chulin, give it to Dov, it becomes kedusha, kaddish with the kedushas ma'aser sheni. The second sella, which is a chayshin mishpat sella, that I owe him, because that was the deal at the time of the Mashiach, that I can use ma'aser sheni to pay. Okay? If the seller's on Haaretz, we have to use a different example, not Dov anymore. I mean, no, do somebody else. Noisin le'midom of, the purchaser gives him the second seller as well from his own chulin, because we don't want him, we don't give ma'aser sheni money to an on Haaretz. Okay, next. Now we're coming to a famous Mishnah that you know from Kedushin. That if a person goes in and is paid to ma'aser sheni and he didn't say this is pidyon, this money is for pidyon of ma'aser sheni, he's just doing it in his mind, right? He's thinking in his mind. Rabbi Yosi Amadai was good enough, because it's obvious mitocha ma'aser what you're doing. You have food here in front of you, this ma'aser sheni, and you have money, and you're making a change. You're saying you're doing this for this, okay, right? Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Chachal Farish. No, you have to speak it out. You have to say it specifically. Same thing if you're talking to a woman about either getting rid of her or acquiring her, and you're talking about the chasana plans, or you're talking about the get plans. I don't know exactly what kind of get plans. I guess they didn't make a party, but I guess they had to make plans. Anyway, Nasan lo gita v'kidusha v'lo perish. If you gave her the get and the kedusha, you didn't say what it was for. Rabbi Yosi Amar Dayu, it's good enough, because since you were already Isaac and those in Yonah beforehand, it's mukhak mitoka, what are you giving it for? Rabbi Yudah Aimer, Chachal Farish. Rabbi Yudah says, no, you have to speak it out. We're going to get more into the details of this machlokas. Okay, that's the end of the Lamed Tes. There's a lot of footnotes here. The reason there's a lot of footnotes here is because he talks a lot about the lumdus of what about the Edom. You have one of the things you need by getting the conditions, the Edom have to understand what we're talking about here. So is there Edus there? Is there or is it not Edus? Do the Edom see a Maisa Kedushin? Do they understand that this is a Maisa Kedushin? It has to be that they do understand it. Okay, there's all lumdus over here. Now we're on Daf Mem. Let me just stop the recording and put it for 40.